Hi, I'm Rosemary Martorana, Director of Intelligence here at the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness, and you're listening to Intelligence Unclassified. This podcast is exactly what the title states, unclassified information about current trends in homeland security for the state of New Jersey, as well as educational information and resources for your awareness. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. Please feel free to add this podcast to your RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow NJOHSP on Twitter at NJOHSP and Facebook. All links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njohsp.gov. So with me here today, I have Major General Brett Dougherty. Major General Brett Dougherty was appointed as the Adjutant General of Washington in July of 2012. As the Adjutant General, he is commander of all Washington Army and National Guard forces and director of the state's emergency management and enhanced 911 programs. General Dougherty also serves as the Homeland Security Advisor to the Governor of Washington and as State Administrative Agent for all United States Department of Homeland Security grants awarded to Washington's state, local, tribal, and nonprofit agencies and organizations. So, sir, thank you very much for joining us today.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here with you.
Great. So today we'd like to just kick off our conversation by talking a little bit about what threats and hazards kind of keep you up at night over there on the West Coast.
Well, we actually have quite a few hazards that we have to plan for and respond to here. We've been very busy with wildfires over the last couple of summers, the worst in our state's history. We just had the deadliest landslide in state history back in 2014. But the thing that really keeps me awake at night is the threat of the Cascadia subduction zone earthquake. And that's a 9.0 to as high as a 9.2 on the Richter scale earthquake, where the ground shakes for anywhere from 4 to 10 minutes. And the last time we had this earthquake was in excess of 300 years ago, and we're in the window for that to occur to us once again.
Oh, interesting. And so I understand recently Washington State, as well as some surrounding states, have planned for such an event. Can you talk to us a little bit about what that exercise looked like?
Yeah, absolutely. The exercise you're referring to is known as Cascadia Rising, and it was really the culmination of about 4 years of work. We really kind of constructed a response plan for the Cascadia Subduction Zone earthquake and synchronized it from the national level involving FEMA through the state level all the way down to the local and tribal level. And so the whole point of the Cascadia Rising exercise was to test our response plan, learn from that exercise, and then go back in and adjust the plan and make it better. And we are very happy that we were able to do that.
Could you talk a little bit about some of the adjustments you made coming out of that exercise?
Yeah, sure. The biggest lesson coming out of Cascadia Rising for us was that the normal way of doing emergency management just is not going to function during a complex catastrophic disaster such as the Cascadia Subduction Zone earthquake. The system that we currently use, and it works very well for normal disasters, it's really kind of a pull type of system. And that's where the local folks say, hey, we need, you know, X amount of support in this category. And then the state and the country provide those assets down to the local authorities. But what we found is that the disruption and the chaos caused by such a massive earthquake is really going to require us to shift gears and instead pre-identify what locals are going to need and then push it to them almost automatically, as opposed to waiting for some type of request to come back up. Especially when given the disaster and such destruction, all the communication systems are going to be down. We just can't afford to wait for anything, let alone a request. We'd have to kind of pre-identify what they need and push it to them. So that was the biggest lesson that we picked up out of Cascadia.
Was that kind of a big lesson learned for our federal partners in this exercise as well?
Yeah, absolutely it was. So this exercise really kind of engaged all the major wheels of the emergency response, in that we had at the local level and tribal level, we had emergency operations centers up and running. And then at the state level, we had our state EOC up and running. And then at the military level, we had U.S. Northern Command involved with Joint Task Force X, as they're calling it. And so everybody quickly realized, almost in unison, that we can't just sit back and wait for requests to matriculate up through the system, that we really have to, with as much speed as possible, push things into the theater, into the disaster zone, and get all that stuff down to the locals as quickly as we could.
Sir, do you think there are some lessons learned that could apply to other natural disasters or man-made disasters as well coming out of this exercise?
Well, sure. I think that, you know, the infrastructure in this particular disaster was so damaged that what we really were faced with was a massive distribution challenge. And so even as supplies and, you know, emergency response equipment flowed into our state, because the bridges were down and the roads weren't functional and runways were buckled, we really struggled with pushing everything forward to the point of need. And I think that in any disaster where you have that level of damage to your infrastructure, you're going to be faced with the same thing. And our thought was, let's do a lot of planning up front, working with the local authorities and the local incident commanders, and try to identify in advance what folks are going to need. And I think that if we were to do that type of planning for disasters where infrastructure is going to be wiped out, I think we'd be well served.
Excellent. In the next year or two, what do you think will be the single defining event that will help or hinder Homeland Security in your state?
Well, I think that if you ask that question to anybody who works in emergency management, they're going to tell you it's going to be funding. And I know at the national level, Homeland Security grants have been cut by 75%. And I know that our state is really struggling financially right now. And so there's virtually no state funding coming to emergency management. And it's really hard to develop the type of plans and figure out what locals are going to need and get all the logistics lined up when you don't have the money to hire the people who do those things. So if we're going to be really serious about preparing for disasters such as the Cascadia Subduction Zone earthquake, we have just got to have funding to bring people on to do the necessary training and planning and coordination that has to take place. If not, we're just going to be trying to get by on a shoestring. So I really see funding as a critical issue.
Yeah, understandably. And I think a lot of our HSAs across the country would agree with that moving forward. Just one final question for you, sir. You know, how do you communicate this information with your governor?
That's great. I work directly for the governor, so I do communicate with Governor Inslee about this on a pretty regular basis. And of course, we involved him and his chief of staff and key cabinet members in the exercise. And in fact, we conduct a quarterly disaster preparation exercise here in our state, and the governor and the cabinet are intimately involved in all of those. So this is a high priority topic for our governor, and we communicate back and forth about it quite often. We also have some more formal ways to do that. We have the Emergency Management Council, which is a formal body that gets together made up of incident commanders and local and tribal emergency responders. They produce a report annually that I take up to the governor, and we use that as a basis to discuss, you know, our response plans and how we will react when a disaster hits.
Excellent. And then just one final question, sir. The Seattle Seahawks, the best NFL football team or only slightly behind the Giants and the Jets here on the East Coast?
Well, we're thinking that this is the year that the Seahawks are going to be back in the Super Bowl. They've done a lot of great recruiting. I know that their offensive line is shaping up, and that's going to be a critical factor for the Seahawks having a successful season. So we're optimistic, and I'm pretty sure they're going to do great. Go Hawks.
All right. Well, I hope we see you in the playoffs.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Great. Well, it's been my pleasure to be with you today.
Again, all links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njohsp.gov. Thanks again for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to Intelligence Unclassified.